Hello there, I'm Miranda Gretton, and this is Take a Moment with NCHC, the show where we talk to you and your colleagues about experiences that affect you. Listen on your drive between patients or in your downtime, whenever you get the chance to take a moment.
My name's Kerry Whiteman. I'm a community assistant practitioner for the Trust.
Hi, I'm Catherine Haig, and I'm a clinical psychologist and service lead for Autism Service Norfolk.
Hi, I'm Anita Larkins and my role is the project manager and I work in support services.
When did you first become aware of the menopause, just the menopause in general?
For me, it was when my sister was going through her menopause, because she's about 5 years older than me. So watching her having hot flushes and that, I mean, my mum just went on HRT and didn't say anything. So we never saw anything about her being menopausal. We just knew she was on HRT. We didn't really know what it was for. But because I'd had breast cancer, my sister wasn't allowed to go on to HRT. And therefore, she had all the hot flushes and the...
Is that because it's a history of a family history of breast cancer, and they wouldn't let her go on it?
They said it could be, so they recommended her not to go on it.
So did you have conversations at that point with her to say, you know, what's it like? Were you sort of thinking from your own experience, or were you just thinking, well, she's going through it, it won't happen to me for a while?
No, I was having conversations about what it's like, so I knew what to expect. I didn't sort of realise the difference in the severity of it, and how, you know, from one person it can be quite mild hot flushes, and to another person it can be, you know, full saturation.
The symptoms seem to be quite different across the board, don't they? And like you say, some people have it mildly and some people don't. So in terms of your experience, how old were you then when you found out you were going through the menopause?
I was 45, because I'd had breast cancer. I was then put on hormone therapy afterwards, and that hormone therapy really triggered my menopause and my hot flushes, and they were really extreme. I was on tamoxifen. I was having them like every 20 minutes, 24 hours a day, you know, and they were really severe. I was being saturated every time. It was just horrendous. And I spoke to various consultants about coming off of, and the oncologist and the breast care nurse were really recommending to me that I stayed on the tamoxifen, because they said if I come off of that, then I'll just get breast cancer again. But for me, the quality of life of having hot flushes every 20 minutes, 24 hours a day, was just horrendous. I couldn't sleep at night or anything. So I wanted to come off of it. And then another consultant told me that it was debatable whether the tamoxifen was helping my cancer anyway. They just done it as a precaution, they said. They said it might help, but, you know, if it's doing you more harm than good, then come off of it. So I did come off of it, and I felt miles better afterwards. I still have hot flushes, but just nowhere near as severe as I was then, because they were horrendous.
Yeah, it sounds it. Catherine, you're nodding away. What's your experience?
Only because that's my first kind of, knowledge of menopause was really the admin who used to work in our team, and she had very much your experience. She was on HRT and then was diagnosed with breast cancer, and then wasn't able to continue with HRT afterwards. And I think similar, probably had some medication that you had, the hormone treatment that you had, and had horrendous experience of menopausal symptoms, very much like you describe, you know, every 20 minutes to 40 minutes hot flushes, not being able to sleep, never. And some people cope quite well without sleep, but she didn't cope very well without sleep. It had a massive impact upon her kind of ability in the daytime, and really she didn't eventually leave work. It became too much.
I think that happens an awful lot, that people feel sort of pushed out of work because the symptoms that people get, not just the physical symptoms, but also what's going on in your head, that I've heard it described as just not being present, but you haven't gone anywhere else. You're just not there, and you sort of zone back in and you've missed something. And it must just feel so terrifying, I suppose. Anita, have you found that in terms of not just like a physical symptom, but have you experienced that kind of brain fog?
Absolutely. Yes. I think in some respects, I'm thankful I haven't had the hot flush side of things. I know how awful they are. Both my sisters have had treatment for breast cancer, and so they also went through that sort of forced early menopause because of the tamoxifen, and they really struggled. And I am going through the menopause naturally, and I got to the point where I went twice to my GP to ask for a test to see whether I had early onset for dementia. And it really affects your work, because you used to being able to recall quickly, hold information in your head, be able to adjust from one subject to the next. I just didn't feel like me, I think, was the thing that was happening. Miranda, you asked when did I first became aware of the menopause. When I first worked for the NHS, I worked with a lot of women who were of the age of going through the menopause. Interestingly, they never really talked about the menopause. They always said they were going through the change. And then when you actually start to experience some things yourself, you think, actually, this isn't quite so jokey. This is awful.
Do you think there's a link between all of these different terms, perimenopause, menopause, you know, the word periods, all of those sort of taboos that previously, you know, like you say, Anita, were termed the change? It just wasn't talked about. Do you think that's why a lot of women don't find it easy to talk about their experience of the menopause?
I literally just struggled. When I was talking just now, Miranda, I wanted to talk about periods and I struggled to say the word. And it's only now that you've said the word that I suddenly think, why aren't I just talking about it? But one of the things that I really, really struggled with was how they changed and how difficult it was to manage it, especially at work. It was really difficult to manage, and it's so embarrassing. You know, sometimes I know I've left work saying I've had a migraine. I didn't have a migraine, but I didn't know what else to say.
I've had a life of being different because I was epileptic as a child following a head injury. And so having seizures in public is, a lot worse than having hot flushes, you know. So to me, it doesn't bother me at all. On that topic, the actual hot flushes are very similar to having a really mild epileptic seizure. I mean, the way your head feels and, you know, and you can't think straight of that, it's just like the sort of onset of a full-blown seizure.
See, that's the sort of thing that people need to know, though, isn't it? Because people just think you get a bit hot and, oh, we'll open the window.
The way you can't think straight, and, you know, and if somebody's talking to you, you really have to focus on trying to listen to them because you can't, just nothing's obvious, you know, because your head's spinning. And the similarities are quite shocking.
Our admin, she did used to go very pale afterwards and said she feels sick and dizzy and, you know, so it really interrupted her work. For me, the reason I didn't talk about it was because of the age I was at. You know, I think I was 38 when I started going to the doctor with symptoms that I had absolutely no idea were related to the menopause. Things like, you say, itchy skin, tingling hands, other symptoms I was too embarrassed to talk about. So burning sensation in my gums, which I now know is related to the menopause, which I thought was bad dental hygiene. So I was really focusing and didn't talk to anyone about that because that really worried me and it felt like it was a hygiene thing. What else? Raging at the kids to a point where I thought that might affect them. And lastly, just extreme tiredness. So extreme tiredness was what affected me at work.
Yeah.
To the point where I would, if I had the office to myself at times, and I have admitted this to my line manager now, but didn't then because I didn't know it was the menopause, would lock the door and set my clock for 15 minutes and have a power nap because I could not focus on anything to get through the day. And that power nap would give me 2 hours of concentration, and then I would have another power nap, and then I would have another 2 hours of concentration. That was occasionally how I'd get through the day. It was horrendous. And if I was with people I was seeing, occasionally I'd have to leave the appointment and literally splash cold water on my face to stay awake. It was awful. So I am on HRT. I'm on the triple medication, so I take testosterone, estrogen and progesterone, and the tiredness is gone. The symptoms are more or less non-existent at all. Occasionally I might feel a hot flush, but it got really bad to the point where I wasn't really socialising because I couldn't really talk. The conversation was so difficult. Like you say, just, and still sometimes, ridiculous. My brain can't think of things that I, you know, I should, like a toddler could think of, you know. And that still happens now, and I hate that. I still worry now that I might have early onset dementia, but I know that it's related to the menopause.
So how long were you feeling like this and doing the power naps and just feeling horrendous before you went to the GP?
So I've been to the GP several times, but although with the tiredness and all those kind of things, loads of times. And the menopause that was not picked up on because I was deemed too young, I think. And then at the beginning of lockdown, I was so tired. My kids would just say to me, "Oh, mum's asleep again." You know, I could say, "Oh, mum's asleep again," because I'd just literally fall asleep wherever. And then I got a lump on my breast, and obviously as I'm worried that it might be cancer, that seemed to be a really quick kind of system in place here. So I went to the doctor, and that then was seen within 2 weeks by the breast care at the hospital, local hospital. And then the doctor ran loads of other tests, and they confirmed that it was a hormonal based abscess, which is really common apparently when you're going through menopause, and that I was going through menopause because I'd also taken lots of blood tests. And they offered me HRT then, but then I'd heard all the negative stuff about HRT, so I didn't take up on it. Probably last year I revisited the GP and they started me on HRT, and then but they weren't really where I wanted them to be in terms of their knowledge. So by that point I'd done loads of research, and I knew testosterone was something that should be considered, especially for some of the symptoms I had, so the cognitive symptoms, lack of sleep, all those kind of things. So I wasn't sleeping at night, but I was very, very tired in the day, and they put me on testosterone as well. And that seems symptoms other than my brain just not working sometimes and word finding problems, more or less all my symptoms have gone. I don't get any hot flushes, you know, everything else is very much sorted. The tiredness has just lifted, it's brought me back to life really. And being able to talk to people and socialize again without, you know, when people talk to me and I just look at them and think, I don't know what to say to you, you know. So it really like brain's not working, I have nothing to say, which is horrible.
That's absolutely amazing. Well done, you. I mean, that's really good that you're, you know, finding a way through it.
Yeah. I mean, I know several other people who said they would have given up work had it not been. And actually one lady who works with me now, who did go into early retirement until it had all passed and then has come back because she couldn't cope. And that's the difficult thing for people who've had breast cancer, because you can't take it. And I think that's really tough, because I don't know how I'd carry on without it.
Well, Carrie, I'm interested to know, you know, what do you do, what are your coping mechanisms without HRT?
I went part-time. That was one of my first things, just because I just couldn't carry on working full-time, because I was completely exhausted, because you never get a good night's sleep, because you're woken up sort of every couple of hours through the night. You never really feel refreshed when you wake up. And so, so reducing my hours was my main thing. Other than that, just always having fans and things around me to try and cool me down, and just trying to cope with it. But it isn't easy.
That's so interesting, isn't it? That, you know, we're talking a lot about HRT as being a solution, but like you said, Catherine, it's not for a lot of women. And, you know, it's really difficult to know about a potential solution that's out there, but you can't take it.
I do really sort of struggle with that personally, because I was very similar to you, Catherine. I really wanted to just feel better. I wanted to do something about it. I did loads and loads of research, and eventually I decided that I would go on it. I mean, as I've said, both my sisters have had treatment for breast cancer. So I always thought it was it was contraindicated. I shouldn't really be doing it. But actually, when they looked at, you know, the statistics, and, you know, they looked at my history, and it was marginal, you know, the additional risk is just marginal. It's so and in fact it's more, there were other factors to do with your lifestyle that had a higher risk, which I was also managing, so therefore it was, you know, a really good calculated risk, and I decided that I would go for it. I'm not going to say it's made a huge difference, but it's as in it hasn't been complete. I didn't see a big difference immediately. What I have seen as the weeks have gone on is that I'm just so much better in myself. The anxiety that I had has lifted. And I think that in itself has helped to for you to just cope and manage better. And I'm so grateful that I can actually take it. One of my sisters is really, really struggling. And, it, you know, I feel really glad that I can do it. And I know she can't, and that's hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. And I think it's, you mentioned the trust there being really supportive, and I think that's almost one of the biggest things that can support and help someone who hasn't got that solution to turn to, is a support network in and outside of work. So, you know, Kerry being able to cut your hours, you know, to be able to do that, to, I'm sure you've got a good, you know, group of friends around you. It's about talking to family. It's about education as well, isn't it? It's about making sure that our husbands understand, that our sons understand, isn't it? You know, and our male line managers understand, because actually it is such a significant thing that women go through. And if it's not talked about and not understood, you know, it potentially you could be viewed as someone who's not taking their job as seriously, or, you know, like you said, Catherine, shouting at the kids and worrying about how that's going to affect them. You know, that's just another level of anxiety on top of everything else, is to think how it's affecting everyone around you. Whereas if you start having that conversation with your children, that this is a thing that I'm going through and this is how I'm managing it, they're going to grow up knowing about it in a way that we never did. In terms of our setting, how can we understand it a bit more, and what can we do? What kind of provisions can we put in place for people if you're on HRT or not? You know, either way, what can we be doing?
Sometimes we are our own worst enemy, and we just kind of keep going on and we don't say things, and that's quite difficult for the people that we work with to know how to help if we've not actually said. So I think that's I found it very difficult to start talking about it to my manager, who's been amazing, but it's quite difficult. And he's talking to a man as well. You know, I didn't know how much I wanted to say, and I don't know how much he wanted to hear. And one of the easiest things I found to do is when the very first, so it was a long, long while ago now, there was something came out about in well-being. It was when we were doing something in well-being, the trust was doing something around well-being on the internet. And I just remember seeing something, and it was had the menopause it section on it. And I just emailed him the link and I said, can you have a look at this? It would help. And that I didn't actually have to have a conversation with him about it. I just pointed him in the direction.
Well, I've found interesting because I mean, because of my head injury, I've actually had brain surgery as well. So I do struggle with reading and writing. But when I told my line manager that I'm working late every night because of these hot flushes, because you can't think straight, etc., they've basically put that down as my disability. So they've given me like extra time, but put it down to my head injury.
But that's really interesting, isn't it? Because that means that the adjustments are there to be made and that the trust are happy to do it. It's just the categorisation of them. It's literally that simple.
That's a really good point, Carrie, about the fact of when it's sort of termed as something else. So like when I said sometimes I've not been felt well enough to stay at work and I've said it's a migraine. I think if I was just that little bit more honest, I mean, I'm fine with it now. But at the time, if I'd have said it was to do with the menopause, it could have started to be recorded as the menopause, and we start to, as a trust, we start to understand the impact that the menopause is having on the workforce. But they're only going to know that if we tell them.
The knowledge and sharing the knowledge is actually really important for our client groups as well, because they, you know, working with people with autism, but for them, you know, when we're assessing people, having that awareness of the impact of menopause, and I'm sure with people you both work with as well, is really important, and being able to see how that impacts upon the work you're doing and perhaps how they're feeling. Yeah, because it, you know, one thing we can be sure of is that 50% of the population will be going through it at some point, whether they have very challenging symptoms or not, but everyone will pass through it. And so it affects all our clients as well. Or half of our clients. Mm-hmm. So I think sharing the knowledge is important from that perspective, as well as for ourselves, it's also important for the people we work with.
Thank you for listening to Take a Moment with NCHC. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please visit the podcast intranet page to leave a comment and for details of our other episodes. You can also follow NCHC on all social media channels.